You know, so during my time off and mm-hmm. my return back to my day job this past week, I've been on four different planes already during what has been a pretty tumultuous couple of weeks for United, American, and Delta. United, of course, you know, I don't want to beat that one to death, but pulling passengers off the planes. I'm not a big fan of United. I fly American, and there was a death of a giant rabbit. I don't mean to laugh about it, but around Easter, you don't want to be killing big rabbits on your plane.
No.
Bad timing there. And then also sources, and I just read about this, and this hasn't been so prominent in the news, that the Allied Pilots Association, the union that represents some 15,000 American airline pilots, says the union is about to distribute a survey to rank and file union members to get a better assessment on how many have experienced symptomatic reactions to new uniforms supplied last September, ranging from rashes and hives to headaches and severe respiratory problems.
Ooh, that's new.
Yeah, this is something brand new. So, you know, are they making cheap uniforms in China or wherever? I don't know. To have respiratory problems and rashes and hives, like what is in this? Is it the inks? Is it the dyes? Is there lead in there? I mean, who knows? But mm-hmm. so that's a whole new thing. And then there was a flight attendant who treated the mom disrespectfully with a stroller. I still don't know really what happened there. And then some guy got thrown off because he was stuck on the tarmac for 30 minutes and had to pee.
Yeah. And I just saw a report overnight of a pilot allegedly punching somebody on the plane. That just happened overnight.
And believe me, folks, every profession has their issues. Mm-hmm. And I know 95% of these folks, you know, work hard every day in their jobs, whether the pilots or serving the public in whatever mm-hmm. way they do. I do understand that, but it's just that they've gotten a black eye, the airline industry, in this last week or so, but I have to tell you, you know, I know there's rules and regulations that need to be followed, but I do believe, because I fly, and I say this out of experience because I fly all the time, there is a lack of respect because you start feeling like you're being treated like cattle. And I don't know if it's happened since 9/11 or what, but you know, the airline industry used to be very different in the 60s, the 70s, and even the 80s. And There's just not a lot of friendly behavior from anybody from the airline industry. And maybe because they're used to being, you know, dealing with troubled customers and passengers or those who are just disrespectful to them, they have to also remember, as I just said, 90-95% of these people really work hard every day and are friendly and take care of the people. There are passengers, 90-95% mm-hmm. of them, that are good, you know, travelers and deserve to be treated with respect. So let me tell you, there's very often I fly in coach, but because I fly all the time, I'm a gold member, so I get bumped to first class. Sometimes I'm taking first class just based on the cost of the flight. And yes, you get big, comfier seats. You might get a blanket, you might get a meal, you get actual glass, you get silverware. But, you know, that's about it. And I expect that if I'm paying more, and there's a noticeable difference in how you're treated as a human being, depending how you fly. But let me tell you, coach could be $350, $500, $600 for a flight.
It's expensive.
So we're not talking, you know, you might be spending $800 or $950 or something for first class, but you're not riding a Greyhound for $49 and not that there's anything wrong with that. But if you're paying $350, $400, $500, you know, And you're getting, and I think about this, a bag of nuts and a can of soda, which must cost them about 80 cents for the air, you know, for the flight. For that price, I still expect to be treated with respect, and I just don't feel it. I don't feel it when I'm in coach, ever. Mm-hmm. Like, even if I'm, you know, asking for, you know, can I get a hot, you know, I like iced tea, and I don't like canned iced tea, so I'll ask for a hot tea and a glass of ice.
Okay, seems reasonable.
I'm always feeling like I'm putting somebody out. And then I'll say, well, can I also get a Splenda or something? And it's kind of like, you know, here you go. Right. It's like, really, am I causing you that much trouble getting a glass of ice, a hot tea, and some extra sugar in this? I mean, it's just the attitude sucks. It just does. I'm going to tell you, that's their job. Everyone's got their job. And no doubt, again, they probably do deal with their share of impolite or unkind people, which is unfortunate, but they're in the customer service business, and they then need to be trained better to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's part of the issue, too, is they're not getting proper training to deal with, you know, those small percentage of irate or disrespectful people, to treat the 90% of the passengers they deal with that are, you know, doing what they're supposed to do and so forth. And I know the bathroom thing is an issue, too. You could be on a tarmac for an hour and you're like, I have to go to the bathroom. No, you know, regulations say you have to really, you know what? There's got to be some reasonable human being that says if you have to go to the bathroom, there's going to have to be some kind of accommodation. You know,
right.
I'm sure most people can hold it for a little bit, but I mean, that can be very uncomfortable as well. And I'm not trying to be a big wuss here. I really do feel that you are just not treated well. And, earlier tonight on Facebook, I posted a Carol Burnett clip called No Frills Airline, if you remember this.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And I've gotten hundreds of reactions from this already, especially as I said I was going to talk about this.
Sure.
And it was when Carol Burnett played a flight attendant. Harvey was a passenger. Tim Conway was a passenger. Tim paid only $40 less for his flight. And as he went to take his seat behind Harvey, he realized that the carpet stopped after Harvey's seat. There's no frills.
Right.
And he tries to put his coat away, and there's wheels and jacks coming out of the compartment that's above his head. And then there's turbulence that happens, but the only seat that's getting turbulence is Tim's because he paid less for his flight.
Right.
And so the seat is bouncing around. I think that's really a very reflective way, a 45-year-old sketch of how people are treated on airlines these days. And here's the thing. They oversell flights every day. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how many flights I am on that they say, either before you get on the flight or while you're sitting in your chair, we have oversold this flight. We'd like to offer to rebook you and a $300 cash voucher or whatever it is if you'll take a later flight. I got to tell you something. Most people who are flying have to be someplace, and they book that specific flight because they have kids at home that they've got to attend to at night, or because I sometimes fly in and out of New York the same day. I will fly out at 6:30 in the morning, and I will land at 6 o'clock at night. And there's oftentimes my wife and kids have no idea that I left the city. Like, I forgot to tell them, oh, I was in New York today.
Right.
I mean, that's how
sure
that
and
works
back,
for me.
Right.
And I'm back for dinner. Like, yeah. They have no clue. But here's the thing. When you go to Wrigley, you go to Soldier Field, you go mm-hmm. to a concert, do they sell your seat twice?
No. You have a ticket for that seat.
Right.
And nobody else has, unless somebody's, you know, making up fake tickets and trying to sell them online or out in outside the stadium. Mm-hmm. But that's an issue with printing fake tickets. Airlines aren't printing fake tickets. How do they overbook? And I know they always want to fill the plane.
Yeah.
They want to because that's how they make money.
Yeah.
So if they get every seat filled, and I've flown a few times, not as much, nowhere near as much as you. Over the last several years, we have had to fly around the country, and all the seats are filled. All the planes are filled.
Yeah.
The boarding areas packed with people. I don't think the airlines have a problem with filling their planes and making the ultimate amount of money that they're supposed to make on a flight.
Yeah.
And so how do they still, in this day and age, overbook a flight?
This is the systemic problem here, is stop overselling the flights. If you want to keep it tight, leave four seats open. I know there's some people that cancel. I cancel flights when I know I've got to be there late.
Well, sure, some people can't make it. They oversleep. Something comes up at home. They can't make it.
Or I'm in a meeting and I can't leave. By the way, if you want to jump into this conversation, folks, 312, please, 981-7200 if you want to text her or give us a call. But that is the systemic problem to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you are overselling flights all the time, and therefore you are putting yourself in the situation. And now they're willing to offer up to $10,000? That's what I'm hearing on this?
Yeah, $10,000 on United.
Yeah.
Now, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to book a flight and go sit out there just to get $10,000 or whatever, because they say up to, so obviously not everyone's going to get $10,000.
Right.
But why would you do that? I mean, that just goes against all aspects of good business practice.
Now, here this week, Oscar Munoz, who's the CEO of United, spoke to Lester Holt on the NBC Nightly News and on the Today Show, long after he said he stood behind what happened. The day that man was dragged out of his seat, he said he was completely backing the flight attendants and the airline crew and security like an idiot, quite frankly, and he had his hat handed to him. Let's take a little listen of Lester Holt talking to the United CEO. Back,
was there another way? Could you have hired cars? Were there solutions that would have avoided what we saw?
Absolutely, and that's the common sense process that I have failed our company with. We should have done that immediately. It just wasn't embedded in the policies and procedures.
Procedures, the airline says, will change. More training for difficult situations. New teams focused on providing agents with creative solutions. Fewer overbooked flights and raising compensation for those willing to take a later flight up to $10,000.
Could more compensation have avoided this in this case?
You know, it's hard to say. I think the combination of financial recompense plus how do I get to where I want to go? That's the thing that we're going to put the customer at the center of everything we do.
Isn't customer service, putting the customer first, isn't that a given?
It is. We make sure 500,000 people every single day get to somewhere safely. When you have a complicated process like that, the operational mindset becomes sort of front and center. And we forget sometimes that the people you're carrying are human and have interest and have desires.
Munoz blames the episode on what he calls a system failure. However, as a result, he will no longer gain the title of chairman next year as planned. His decision, he says.
Oh, baloney. See, that's the thing. That's one of the things that got me, as he said, yeah. we're gonna put we'll shut that down. We're gonna put the customers first. Really? Wasn't that your job all along?
Yeah,
put the customers
isn't
first?
That you're in a service industry.
Yeah.
Wow.
To say that after all that has happened is, oh, by the way, no, you know what, Lester, we're going to put the customer first. You should have been doing that all along.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give myself the chairman role. What a nice, good for you.
Well, probably because the board called for his head on a platter.
It's ridiculous how this guy has bounced around and how you can defend this type of behavior. I was listening to John Williams talk about this. He almost jumps into this every day because there's something going on with the airline industry. And I called in because it's funny. John and I sometimes end up on the opposite ends of the political spectrum. Mm-hmm. And he called and he said, maybe the customer wasn't listening and they weren't doing this. I'm like, you know what? It's all about overbooking. And I fly all the time. And I really do think that is absolutely the systemic problem here, but we were trying to guess how much that this guy.
Yeah, he settled.
I'm thinking, John. Somebody was saying, I think one of the news folks was saying they thought it was up to $3 million. I would think maybe $1.2 million. It's got to be over $1 million. There's no way for legal fees and everything else that this guy, you know, brought this to the attention of the American people. I am hoping that we see a change in how people are treated in the air and at the airports. Like, you know, it's like when you walk up to somebody even to check in your bag, or you're looking to change a flight or change your seat and you're not doing it by the machine.
Right.
You're just not spoken to with much respect. I don't feel good about flying anymore. You know, unless I know I'm going to be in first class. And you know what? That sucks, because as I said, I'm the same guy that's flown coach 3 times out of 4 than the same guy that flies in first class 1 time out of 4.
And now, I don't, as mentioned, I don't fly anywhere near like you do, but I've had to take first class a couple of times, by choice, not by necessity. Mm-hmm. And, I had never done it before. And I was totally underwhelmed, to be honest with you. For the price, I was totally underwhelmed. You had more leg room, you had more arm room, it was a little more comfortable sitting wise, which was the main reason why I did it. But for the amount of attention, for the amount of customer service, for the quality of the food or whatever you want to call it, it was not worth it. And the airlines are making a ton of money off of the public, and I think what you mentioned at the beginning about this has changed since 9/11. I honestly think that has had a ton to do with what's going on now. We have a lot of new security measures that have been put into place that were not in place before. Going to the bathroom on the plane, sitting on the tarmac. Didn't have to worry about that before 9/11.
Oh, geez, you used to walk right through the
airport. You could walk up and down the
airport.
Sure.
With family and do all
exactly.
That.
You could go to the gate and pick up the people coming out of the plane. So a lot has changed, and that has affected the flying public, and that has affected the companies that provide that service.
312 says overbooking is the problem. Right on, Dave. 773, mutual respect is necessary when you're flying, taking a train, bus. Mutual respect of each individual is necessary. I agree with that as well, and I think that... I really do think the overbooking is the bigger issue, and if they can pull that back like he said he's going to, I just find it funny that he says he's going to put the customer first. Was the customer never first with this guy?
Yeah, right.
I still can't stand that. All right, so let me tell you real quick what we got on the show. Jeffrey Baer from WTTW with Graham Garfield of the CTA. We're going to talk about the 125th anniversary of the L. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a very educational conversation. It's very fascinating how this all started in the 1800s. And, cause I think it was individual companies that
it
ran
was.
The L until the 1940s.
It was.
So, we'll talk a little bit about that. Pat Brickhouse, Jacob Kaplan, co-founder of ForgottenChicago.com. This is history. All kinds of good stuff coming up next on 720 WGN.